Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back, one and all, to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's so good to be back here, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer, and I want to welcome America here into the boiler room, here deep in the bowels of the McBurney compound. As we once again join you for the Weekly Worldview, yes, we've been away for a while. No excuses, no reason, just a general lack of interest, I think. Is it that? Is it maybe? Possibly? Am I maybe getting sick of the news? It's quite possible I'm getting sick of the news. Now that all of civilization seems to have drifted into a place where nobody knows what real news is and fake news is, and fake news was a construct created by people trying to hide something, and so now nobody knows what's true anymore. As far as the behavior of the average lawyer, politician, heathen, school teacher, judge, society in general, you just never know. Just don't know what's real and true anymore when it comes to watching all these people and all these events, and it's all quite, well, I'll tell you this. It's a lot more attractive for a fellow like me to just focus on my own little piece of the earth and my own family and just not even pay attention. Just go out onto the back 40 and do something that requires very little thought, in which I'm not in a hurry, and which my phone is not ringing, and there's no electronics involved. It's just a lot more attractive to do that than to do this. But I'm here to do this because I care about you people. Just like I told the kids at East High School, we visited East High School, a number of us, some teenagers and some of their parents, and we just went there to tell the kids that there is a God and that there is objective right and wrong, and they asked, why are you here? And I said, it's because I care about you people. You're in darkness. You're lost. Well, they didn't take that so well. Anyway, you can hear a full report on that over at KGOV.com. I don't want to go into all the details, but we had to cancel the last 2 days because police said that we could be shot. And so we had to cancel the last 2 days. I don't know if they said we could be shot, but, well, what they said led us to believe that we could be shot. And looking at some of those kids at East High School, at least the ones that were alpha male heterosexuals, they very well could have shot us. The homos, on the other hand, and boy, that place was overrun with homos. I tell you what, when I was in high school, we did some things to rebel against authority. Even some disturbing and even some criminal things. But the homo thing, it's really disturbing to see how open and just festering right in the open, in the sunlight in front of God and everyone. It's just disturbing. All right, so let's start with politics, something a little less disturbing. Dwayne The Rock Johnson says he may be running for president. I know this announcement came out a couple weeks ago. Hey, I've been gone for a while. But this is from my Age of the Celebrity Caesars file. You know my prediction, that we will never again have a regular politician elected for president. We are doomed to a future of celebrity presidents. A short line of them, I believe, until the end of the country altogether. Could the next one be Dwayne Rock Johnson? Now, I'm not familiar with the fella because he came along after I stopped watching movies in the early 1990s, and apparently he's a movie guy. Let's see, was he an ex? I don't know if he's an ex-anything. He's a former wrestler from Donald J. Trump to the WWF. That's about right. you know what? You think I'm joking. But don't think that every narcissistic, neurotic half-wit in Hollywood has not noticed that Donald Trump won the election. They're all sitting there with their agents snorting cocaine and plotting how they could possibly become the president of the United States. I can see it. What's Emilio Estevez's brother's name? I can see Charlie Sheen up at 3 o'clock in the morning with his agent. We could do it, man. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, not a drug user from what I understand. Just a former wrestler and, yeah, whatever. By the way, Trump is finding out that he's not a Caesar, right? Because Trump has craftily built the illusion that he's a conservative, and so all the liberals in the deep state, they're all working against it. But what I fear is the election of a truly flaming liberal celebrity and what they would be able to get away with. Make Barack Obama look like a piker. They could destroy the country within their first 100 days. And I'm just afraid that's what's going to happen. So I'm not here to endorse Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Is it The Rock Johnson or Rock Johnson? It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I wonder if that's what they put on his royalty checks. Didn't he just have a movie came out that just tanked? It was horrible.
I have no idea.
You have no idea? You're not paying attention to these things? Come on.
I'm sorry.
You don't check Variety every morning? Find out who's up and who's... Anyway... let's see. I think he had a movie. Yes, they tried to do a Baywatch movie with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Apparently, it's a disaster. But, hey, since I joined you last, there's been so many things that you would have thought would have been the news that shook the world. The massacre in Manchester, of course, going back to the big ransomware story where all the computers were taken hostage unless you paid the guy $30 via... wire transfer. You had to go down and get the, Western Union and just all that. Well, that didn't change. Roger Ailes died. Guy from Fox News who hired all the trannies and the strippers over there. Another guy who constructed the illusion that he was some kind of liberal. Probably one of the most miserable and detested human beings on the planet by the people who worked for him. As I listened to the tales of Roger Ailes on all the radio guy, you know, Roger Ailes built Rush Limbaugh back in the late 1980s. A lot of people don't know that. Roger Ailes, Mark Levin, they basically wrote the script for Rush Limbaugh and built him back in the late 80s. And they constructed the illusion that this was all conservative and they came out with right-wing radio. And here we are 25 years later, Roger Ailes dead. Greg Allman dead, right? No longer tied to the whipping post. He's dead, Greg Allman is. Who's Greg Allman? Well, you really have no idea. He was making hits before we watched movies. You would have been too young to watch movies. Anyway, this is one of the things I said to the kids at East High School as we were down there, just witnessing to the fact that there is a God and that there is truth and that the public school establishment is lying to the kids. That's one way to get their attention. You say your teachers and administrators are lying to you. You draw a big crowd. And I asked them, I said, do you notice there's something wrong in the world in that everyone around you is dying? And they said, no, we haven't noticed that. I said, I know because you're in high school, but wait, you will notice. And I said, start paying attention right now because everyone is dying and that's not the way it should be. That's not the way God wants it to be. And overall, the kids were not very friendly to me. I had a few of them that one of them followed me home. I didn't know if he was going to stick a knife in my ribs or if he genuinely wanted to talk. Him and his little friend looked like they could kill me at any moment if they had a weapon. Walked back, said I had said something bad about the homeless. Oh, I remember. I told them that homeless people generally are people who have screwed everyone in their life so bad, even their mom and dad and their best friend and their little sister, that they can't even find a place to sleep. And you shouldn't feel sorry for them. If you end up on a street corner with a sign begging, it's because you have destroyed every relationship you could possibly have that could save you out of being in that situation. So don't feel sorry for them. And this kid wanted to walk back to my parking space and discuss that with me. The entire time I was wishing I hadn't left the gun in the car. But the kid did not stab me, although he looked like any minute he was going to stab me, but he did not. We ended up parting, well, not friends, but... All right, what other big news? North Korea launched another missile that achieved a ballistic reentry. Oh, no big deal. Just, you know, they could... If they could point it in the right direction, they might get hit Japan. The Russians, of course, that's the big news. That story just won't die. Did the Russians try to influence our election? The Russians have tried to influence every election in the United States since 1917. Maybe since 1817. Yes, of course they tried. Oh, we'll get to some of that here in a minute. What other earth-shattering news? Have I missed anything? I think that's about it as far as earth-shattering news that I don't plan to cover in depth. The rest of this stuff I do plan to get to. Donald Trump, the President of the United States, made his first foreign trip. And for whatever reason, he chose his destination as he chose a destination of the global Islamic capital in Saudi Arabia. What's the deal with that? I remember when Barry first got elected and he went to Egypt to bow and scrape to the Muslims. That made total sense to me because of who that guy was. Just an anti-American Islamophile, a Barry Ho. But Trump to Saudi Arabia, probably about the money, right? Not so much the ideology with Trump, but the money. Let's see. Trump made news because his wife looked good. That was the big news, was that his wife in her designer clothes looked good. I think that was the biggest story. Trump described the modern terrorism conflict as a battle between good and evil, rather than a clash between the West and Islam. That's according to the Associated Press. Trump said he's offering a partnership with the Saudis and other Islamic governments based on shared interests and values. I believe he meant interest rates and the value of various oil stocks. I'm not sure. Possibly defense industry stocks as well. Let's see. After he went to the global capital of Islam, then he went to bamboozle Benjamin Netanyahu, talked Bibi into agreeing to allowing Palestinian construction in part of the West Bank, as if that has never happened. Also talked Bibi into opening a border crossing between the West Bank and Jordan 24 hours a day. Let's see how long that lasts before somebody doesn't blow up some school children and the Israelis end up closing that border crossing again. We'll just see about that. And then Donald Trump and a bunch of other aging, despotic, greedy, pedophile Islamic kings and princes and other various officials visited the new Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology. I said the Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology. Now, no mention of the word Islam in the new Global Center. Probably a concession that was made somewhere along the way. Listen to this. At the heart of this new Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology, which oddly enough is in Saudi Arabia, the global capital of Islam, which is the engine of the terrorist conflict, is Islam. Oddly enough, they put the Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology right there in Saudi Arabia. And at the heart of it is a giant wall of TV screens displaying real-time online extremist activity. What is that? They're airing live beheadings or kidnappings of schoolgirls. If anything, that sounds like a Muslim worship center. It sounds like something that they would have in the Grand Mufti's mosque. TV screens running real-time online extremist activity. Anyway, while the world weeps over Manchester, and it's awful what the terrorists did in Manchester, let's not forget what's happening to the Copts in Egypt. Well, last Friday's attack on a Coptic Christian, a couple of buses carrying Coptic Christians. The death toll is now 29. Egypt has responded with airstrikes against ISIS camps. CNN says that persecution of Egypt's Christians has spiked since the toppling of Hosni Mubarak back in 2011. That was Barry Ho. Thank you very much. And there is currently an increasing mass exodus of Christians out of Egypt and out of the Middle East in general, putting into jeopardy my hope that we can keep civilization from falling into the hands of the madmen. But as you'll see as the show unfolds, the madmen aren't just abroad. No, no, they're right here at home too. That actually brings to mind a scripture. You know, everybody doesn't want to rule the world. Jesus said to his disciples that the heathens lorded over one another authority. And they want to hold each other down. But the Christian philosophy is not that. We don't want to rule the world. We would prefer that the ideals of Jesus Christ influence and motivate those who rule the world. But we don't want to rule the world. No, we don't. Now, speaking of madmen, Bradley Manning has walked out of prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, after Barry Ho. You'll remember Barack Obama, this according to the New York Times. Barack Obama, in one of his final acts, commuted Bradley Manning's sentence. In fact, he called Bradley Chelsea because Chelsea has changed her name, his name, its name, the name, to Chelsea. Chelsea, by the way. Why would he pick the name Chelsea? I don't know. But Bradley Manning is free. He was sentenced to 35 years. He served about 7 years. Raised about $140,000 on a GoFundMe page because nobody's going to hire this freak tranny traitor. Anyway, it's possible that the only Chelsea uglier than Chelsea Manning is Chelsea Clinton. Now, that's just mean. It's just mean, and I apologize. The writer who put that joke together, I want dock his pay or her pay. That was just mean. That was unnecessary and uncalled for. We don't tolerate that kind of mean-spiritedness. Let's move on to other tranny news. Trannies in the military academies. Yes, I said, that's right. There's two trannies at the Air Force. One at the Air Force, one each at the Air Force, and one at the Army Academy, respectively. They were allowed to graduate, but they will not be permitted to join the military. It's just ridiculous. From the War File. As the terrorists reload for their next bombing, slashing, stabbing, ramming, whatever it is they're going to do, nuclear, who knows? While they do that, the Pentagon is struggling with their guilt complex over the fact that they let the trannies graduate, but technically they're not allowed to join the military. The Air Force and the Army, according to USA Today, will not commission the cadets who've been allowed to graduate. The names of the cadets and their new genders were not released by the military, just because the whole thing is just kind of embarrassing. Last year, you'll remember, Ash Carter rescinded the ban on tranny troops. However, the policy for accepting new trannies into the military is currently being developed, and it's going to be phased in. I wonder if Donald Trump will be all over stopping that. You think he'll make that a high priority? Let's keep an eye on Mr. Trump for that. An Academy spokesman over at the Air Force Academy said, the tranny cadets can graduate, but per the current transgender policy, this cadet cannot commission into the Air Force. It's unclear how the Pentagon will handle policies for transgendered troops under the Trump administration. It's unclear. And I suppose those of you who voted for Trump and encouraged me to do so would say that's a victory.
At least Donald Trump is unclear about how he feels about the trannies. As far as we know. As far as we want to know. All you Trumpeteers out there. There's an estimate that there are some 6,666 trannies in active duty military right now. That's according to the RAND Corporation. And that's just that's an approximation. 6,666. Last year, about 100 active duty trannies sought medical treatment under the policy. Do I have the story about the? Let me see here. I got things out of order here because I'm a little rusty. I haven't done a show in a while. I thought I had a story from the American Society of Plastic Surgery and talking about the rate of tranny surgeries, and I probably threw it away because it was disgusting. Anyway, plastic surgeons are seeing a larger and larger requests, more and more. An increase even, perhaps, if he could speak, seeing as he's on the air and all. They see quite a spike, they call it. A spike in requests for various plasties. It's an interesting thing about plastic surgery. Rhinoplasty is on your nose. Otoplasty is on your ears. And there's a couple of other plasties that, they're plasticizing more and more lately, and it's quite disturbing. But it's not surprising, ladies and gentlemen, because we have an announcement from the Wall Street Journal. The Summer of Love is turning 50 years old. That's right. Wall Street Journal says 50 years ago, about 100,000 people flocked to San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury to join the countercultural currents of the Summer of Love. That's right. It was a summer in 1967, and the smooth, cool sounds of the Doors was playing on the radio. And everybody in the Haight was getting high and acting the fool. And here we are 50 years later. And we're trying to figure out what to do with trannies in the military. And the Summer of Love is an interesting time, especially for me. It's an extremely interesting time for me because I was conceived in mid to late July of 1967, smack dab in the middle of the Summer of Love. But not by a couple of hippies. No, I was conceived by an Episcopalian and a bartender. Somewhere in the Buffalo, New York area in mid to late July 1967. And that was during the Summer of Love when it seemed everything was possible and all we needed was love and everything was colors and swirls and wonderful. 9 months later, I was delivered in April of 1968 when all the lies of that summer were coming unraveled. Martin Luther King Jr. lay dead. Charles Manson was on the prowl. And that short span of 9 months indeed changed the world. Well, at least for me, because I gestated and I was birthed upon the world. So the Summer of Love is turning 50. The generals don't know what to do with the trannies in the military. We let a transgendered traitor out of prison because we're so confused and lost and helpless. And meanwhile, to celebrate the Summer of Love in the Castro District of San Francisco from the Queering of America file, need I even say what was happening in the Castro? Revelers celebrated the Summer of Love in the Castro, this is according to the San Francisco Chronicle, with a naked parade in right there down the street. And the parade was, it was permitted by the city fathers, mothers, what would they call themselves? In San Francisco, you would not want to call yourself one of the city fathers or one of the city mothers. I'm not sure what they would. Well, anyway, they permitted the parade, even though they knew that it was going to be a bunch of tatted up homosexuals marching naked down the street. They issued a permit for it. Here we are 50 years after the Summer of Love. And that's what's going on in the Castro district. And, the whole generation. Well, in fact, I can talk about the whole generation based on my interpretation of this next story. This is from the Suicidal Idiot Children file. I said the Suicidal Idiot Children. Yes, now it's a file because I've got so many of these stories. Chris Cornell, One of the loudest lead singers in rock music, according to ABC, hanged himself after playing a show in Detroit a couple of weeks ago. Chris Cornell, formerly, lead singer of Soundgarden, also with Audioslave, Temple of the Dog, did some solo albums. And so let's talk a little bit about human nature and my generation. And those of you who are Generation Xers, hopefully you're starting to relate to this more and more. Let me lay this out. Okay, our entire generation and every generation that has come after us was utterly lied to in that life was really all about pleasure and having sex with as many people as you could and sex, drugs, and rock and roll and all of that. And Chris Cornell was an interesting character in my life because here's something interesting about human nature. We all have a desire to know somebody famous. Isn't that true? For some reason, innate, deep down in all of us, there's a certain thrill when somebody famous comes into the room or we brush up against someone famous. If you hang out with friends and you're sitting around talking, inevitably someone will tell the story about how they and their sister-in-law accidentally were at Macy's and they stumbled across XYZ famous person. And everyone in the room is on the edge of their seat because we all seem to have this deep-seated desire to know somebody famous. And I think it has something to do with glory, something that we don't really understand. It's a spiritual thing. So there's this inborn, innate desire to know somebody famous. Well, in the summer of 1990, I was convinced by my bass player, as I was on my way to becoming a rock star myself, I was convinced by my bass player, who later became my guitar player as the band fell apart, to go to a concert by a band called Danzig. Does anybody remember Danzig? Don't throw rotten fruit. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my idea. So my guitar player slash bass player and a roadie and their cousin, we all go up to San Diego State University Fieldhouse. And we arrive at the concert approximately 8 hours early because they want to get Glenn Danzig's autograph. And so they were out behind the SDSU Fieldhouse stalking the buses as they came in, the big Greyhound-style buses with the big-time band. And in the meantime, me and Danny, the cousin, we're sitting out on the front steps of the SDSU Fieldhouse when up pulls a black bus slash van of some sort from the 70s, beat up, four different kinds of tires, three different colors of paint, and all kinds of musical gear strapped to the roof. And they pull up, and they start pouring out of the van, and they start tearing their stuff, unpacking their stuff off the top of their van. And me and Danny, being civilized people, offered them a cigarette, asked if they needed any help. We end up hauling their gear, helping them haul their gear up the stairs. They are the opening band for the monster act Danzig of the early 90s. And it turns out that it was Soundgarden. And at the end, we were sitting on the drum kits, boxes, smoking a cigarette with Chris Cornell and hanging out and talking. And there's my brush with fame. I don't know anyone else in the band's name. Anyway, I went in and watched the show with my heathen friends. Have I ever told the story about blasphemy on the air? I think I have. So when I first met the bass player slash guitar player and a roadie and the cousin, they wanted me to listen to a Danzig record, so they break out the CD. CDs were big back then. They were new, and it was really hip. He unfolds the album cover, the sleeve out of the CD, and each panel is a picture of a band member in various states of contortion and torture with spit and blood and all this demonic imagery. And the album sleeve opens up into an upside-down cross. Yes. And at that moment, I felt a chill in the room, and I said, "Dude, that's blasphemy." And the bass player slash guitar player said, "What's blasphemy?"
I said, dude, an upside down cross, man, that's like shaking your fist right at God, man. That doesn't scare you. He said, no, what's blasphemy? But I just looked in the mirror, and things are looking so good. I'm looking California and feeling Minnesota. Oh, yeah. Who gets mystified?
And that's the thing, is that outshined indeed.
Indeed.
Is that the death of Chris Cornell had a particular impact on me because, well, I met the guy, and he's also close to my age. So very close to my age. And this was the guy I wanted to be when I was 20. This is the guy I wanted to be when I was 20. And... it turns out that I'm really glad that I was not him. Autopsy results say that the 52-year-old singer killed himself by hanging. You finish a show in Detroit. I understand Detroit is not the greatest place in the world. And you're opening to maybe 800 people at a bar, so your career maybe isn't what it used to be. But I mean, to hang yourself... I don't understand. I cannot comprehend it. I have never considered suicide. I never comprehended people who considered suicide. But there you have it. And so back to this desire to know somebody famous. What's the deal with that? I think that we are wired spiritually with an appreciation for glory. And I don't think we even understand what that means. What is glory? I think on earth, the closest thing we get to glory is our reputation. What other people are saying about us when we are not around. And all of us want other people to be talking about us when we are not around. Because we desire glory. And when we bump into somebody famous, or we actually end up having a relationship or knowing somebody famous, it satisfies some deep spiritual desire to participate in glory. Or glorification. And so I think we'll understand it a lot more on the other side. And I think that glory will be the thing that satisfies the desires that right now are confused by the flesh. So our spiritual desire for glory and to participate in glorious activity is clouded and perverted by our flesh right now. And on the other side, we'll be able to experience it perfectly. And we will get to know the most famous person who ever lived. A guy who, if Chris Cornell had met him, and Chris Cornell married a Christian girl, from what I understand, right? He married, and he had some kids. I didn't know any of this. To be honest with you, I hadn't followed his career for quite some time. But that explains why he was playing a bar in Detroit. He married an Eastern Orthodox girl. And maybe he did one of those George Costanza conversion deals where he takes the test and he's got the crib notes. It doesn't seem like his marriage to the Christian girl helped him all that much. But had Chris Cornell had the opportunity to meet Jesus Christ, the most famous man on earth, who Chris Cornell spent his entire career raging against... well, maybe he wouldn't have ended up at the young age of 52 feeling like one of the options for the evening was to hang himself. Now, people wonder, why was there no suicide note found at the scene? Well, we're pretty sure that that would have been considered redundant. One could just listen to the body of the man's work. No need to leave a suicide note. All right. Now, we'll move on. Oh, and by the way, this is the type of attitude in these suicidal idiot children spawned by the tolerance of the so-called Summer of Love and how it supposedly changed America. It didn't really change America. It really changed the media. The media liked it. They liked pictures of half-naked teenagers getting high and rolling around in the mud and the whole thing. And it changed the way the media transmitted cultural information. It basically started the wholesale degeneration of the media into utter corruption and perversion, which is where we find ourselves today. And my generation, there's an awful lot of people in my generation who are dying in their 50s. And it's making me a little nervous, all right? That's all. I once had a pastor tell me I would never make 50. Look me right in the eyes. He said, Doug, you're never going to make 50. And here I am. I'm on the cusp here, and I'm getting nervous. All right? Just, I want to make that clear. I'm getting a little nervous. I'm not ready to buy life insurance yet. Although I did look into that. It sounds like just a huge scam. Just a tremendous scam. And so I'm not ready to do that yet. But anyway, my generation's having a rough time, and I just want to be here right now. This is a cry for help from Generation X. Why are so many of us killing ourselves? It's disturbing. Well, let's just talk about, well, now this guy's not from my generation, but he's working for, listen to this. The New York Post is reporting that a leading young Democrat and an employee of the de Blasio administration in New York has been arrested for allegedly keeping more than 3,000 images and 89 videos on his laptop that he downloaded from the internet. The videos and pictures depict images of females between the ages of 6 months and 16 years old engaging, and I can't go into what they're engaging anyway. This fella's name is Jacob Schwartz. He's a Democrat, high up there, 29 years old. His father is labor lawyer and Democrat insider Arthur Schwartz. Yes, and Jacob Schwartz is Arthur's suicidal idiot child. And he found himself arrested after having all this child pornography on his computer. Jacob Schwartz is the president of the Manhattan Young Democrats and the Downstate Region vice president of the New York State Young Democrats. And he was arrested with a bunch of child porn on his computer. What did he do for a living, did young Mr. Schwartz? Nobody asked. Schwartz was employed at the City Department of Design and Construction, where he works on the Build It Back Hurricane Sandy Recovery and Resiliency Program. This is a testimony to my theory that our government exists to hand out patronage jobs to relatively dim-witted relatives. Young Mr. Jacob Schwartz worked at the Department of Design and Construction in the Hurricane Sandy Recovery and Resiliency Program, a patronage jobs program for Democrats' misfit suicidal idiot children. And so Jacob Schwartz was arrested and charged with, there's a whole litany of charges around possessing child pornography. Charged with felonies. Yes, yes. He was promptly released on $7,500 bail and was not fired, as far as we know, from the Department of Design and Construction from his no-show patronage job that his daddy got him. So the Summer of Love and the whole lie that your whole life can you can satisfy yourself with hedonistic pleasure, it results in a society that now doesn't know what to do with a pervert who is a danger to children, a child pornographer,
who should be rapidly tried and, when duly convicted, executed for what he has done. But here we are 50 years post the Summer of Love, and we don't even know what to do with child pornographers and maniac mad dog killers. Here's an example from CNN. You'll remember this story. Remember the story of the woman who was found chained up inside of a shipping container? Do you remember that story? It was around Thanksgiving-ish last year. Yeah, November of last year, police rescued a woman found chained inside a shipping container on the farm of a South Carolina real estate agent named Todd Kohlhepp. Then they excavated and they found seven bodies. Seven people that this fella had killed. And so you would think it's November now, it's May, we're on the eve of summer. You would think that Todd Kohlhepp would have already been duly convicted and executed because he confessed to murdering these seven people over 13 years. But instead, in a plea deal reached with prosecutors, the murderer avoided the death penalty and instead received seven consecutive life sentences plus 30 years for the sex assault on the girl he chained in the shipping container, and another 30 years for kidnapping just on top of that. Very creative sentence here on the part of a justice system. In South Carolina, the buckle of the Bible Belt, and even there, they don't know what to do with child pornographers, child molesters, and mad dog maniacal killers. And there can't be a summer of love. This is a summer of hate. It's a summer of vengeance and violence that will be visited upon our nation and is being visited upon our nation. Because we as a people decided to tolerate the media's presentation of a big fat lie back in the 60s. And an entire generation is dying and killing and being killed because that big lie has been perpetuated by a media that now perpetuates itself further and further into corruption as it covers the very society that it helped produce. Case in point from the suicidal idiot children file. From NBC in Chicago, on Mother's Day, a man killed his mother up in Oregon and then showed up at a grocery store carrying her decapitated head and then began stabbing a checkout clerk. That's it. That's the whole story. He chopped his mother's head off and walked into town with it and tried to kill some other people. He's been arrested. And at last we heard he's still alive. He walked into the store with his mother's head. And the only thing the media knows for sure is that this fella's mother is dead. As to what we should do with him, I'm sure that they and the lawyers and the judges and the mayors and the constables and the district attorneys and the presidents are already with many, many very, very creative ideas.
And we come to you here on the Weekly Worldview as proud members of the alternative media, and we know exactly what is to be done with the likes of Todd Holkep and Mayor de Blasio. Oh, wait. Mayor de Blasio wasn't arrested yet. Jacob Schwartz, the guy with the child. But yeah, we know what to do with these people. But we are the alternative media. We're the alternative to the sick, corrupt, pedophile media that was born illegitimately in the restroom of a gay bar during the Summer of Love. And that's ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, the New York Times, the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Denver Post. Is there anyone I missed? Pretty much everyone except me and maybe six other people. We're the only ones left standing who have a clue about what to do, and that's why you need to keep tuning in, and that's why I need to keep doing this. I have to talk myself into this. By the way, that story with the guy decapitating his mother, and then that should have been in the homicidal idiot children file along with this story. From the Denver Post, the Denver police, let's see here, Brian Lucero, 29 years old, was murdered in Denver. His cause of death was ruled a stab wound, and police have arrested a man who was wearing clown makeup when he allegedly stabbed and slashed 29-year-old Brian Lucero to death with a glove that had blades attached to the end of each finger. He made a glove for slashing people. My goodness, these are the children of my generation. This I could be this kid's father, for crying out loud. So it's only going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen. Now, fortunately, I was also, I was conceived during the Summer of Love. I've already covered that. So there was something good to come out of the Summer of Love. But the corrupt media machine that and the pop culture machine that it supports that keeps pretty. You know what pops into my mind right now? Is the picture of the slut at the concert in England right before the bomb went off and what she was doing in front of 10,000 teenage girls, which was basically a pornographic striptease act. That visual just popped into my mind right now. And somewhere along the line, we decided that that was tolerable, that a girl could do a pornographic striptease act in front of our teenage children, and that was okay. And the media loves it. In fact, they'll be at her. She's going to do a memorial fundraising concert and striptease act, and they'll all be covering it. And it's just, I had a conversation with a young man. And his life is in disarray because of all the women. All the women he's had and is having and is pursuing. And I said to the young man, I said, you know what? The human being was not designed for the hookup culture. And every time you do this to yourself with another girl, you're further damaging your soul and your mind. Not to mention your body, but your mind and your soul and your spirit. And if you don't stop it and do what's right and look for a wife, you might get to a point where you don't come back and you're going to go insane. He had never heard anything like that. I said, you believed a lie. I said, I believed it too. I was in high school. I know what the pop culture taught me, what life was all about. And all I had was TV and MTV in its first few years when it was actually mostly music. He's got the internet constantly on his phone. He's got Snapchat and his friends and all his weird, bizarro associates that he knows in the online world and all their corrupt, sexually immoral lifestyles, and he looks at this and he thinks this is the ideal, and he's out there doing what he thinks is going to satisfy himself when in actuality he is destroying himself. And I had that conversation with him. I said, you should stop looking for a girl to hook up with and start looking for a wife. He looked at me as if he could not comprehend the language I was speaking. I'm afraid the young man may be too far gone. But I did my best. And I could be his dad. So I'm Generation X. He's Generation Generation Y. Anyway, it's just, it's sad. It's sad to see what's happening, but I'm here to pull you back from the edge because I have the answers and I have the solutions. We're not just going to talk about the problems here. We are going to offer constructive solutions that have nothing to do with mandatory minimum sentences or travel bans or anything like that. We have much bigger ideas. Meanwhile, in Dayton, Ohio, speaking of my generation, for the second time this year, the coroner in Dayton, Ohio, has run out of room for dead bodies because of all the heroin and opioid overdoses. Yeah, last Wednesday, he had 13 bodies come through. 12 of them were opioid overdoses, and he was already out of room. The coroner says that they've already expanded the cooler once last year. They made space for 36. That wasn't enough. Now it holds 42. And last week, he ran out of space again. The coroner says, if this pace continues, I'm not really sure what we're going to do. The morgue is full every night. So what's the solution? The city fathers say that they are considering renting more space at funeral homes to refrigerate the dead bodies of the grandchildren of the Summer of Love. Thank you very much. Last year, now this is according to CBS in Pittsburgh, last year over 3,000 people died of drug overdoses in Ohio. In Ohio! It's not San Francisco. It's not the Hate. It's not Greenwich Village. It's Ohio, for crying out loud. They're running out of room at the morgue. From the Suicidal Idiot Children file, the Times Square maniac, you can remember that story vaguely. There's so many horrifically violent stories every few days in the news anymore that it's hard to keep track. But let me remind you, a maniac in Times Square crashed his Honda Accord into a crowd at Broadway and 45th. He then got out of the car, ran toward a group of people with his arms outstretched before finally being tackled by law enforcement. A tourist from Michigan, 18-year-old Alyssa Elsman, was killed. The incident sparked fears of terrorism, according to the New York Post, but officials said they have no reason to believe that terrorism played a role in the carnage. It turns out that it was 26-year-old Richard Rojas who told police, "You were supposed to shoot me." He told the police, "You were supposed to shoot me." He was trying to commit suicide by cop, and he said he wanted to kill as many people as he could. He was not drunk on alcohol, but police suspect that he may have been using drugs. What are the odds? Again, from the Suicidal Idiot Children file, and that's the state of American civilization as we look in on it this week. Do I want to do the death penalty story? Oh, from the New York Times, Tommy Arthur's been on death row since 1983. He was hired by his lover to murder her husband, and he was convicted of that. By the way, when he murdered her husband, he was out of prison on work release from a life sentence for another killing that he had been convicted of. This is in the 80s, for crying out loud. Anyway, 8 times this fellow has had his death sentence delayed in one way or another. So much so that they called him Houdini in prison because he had escaped the death penalty so many times. Well, this bastard was executed Friday, May 26, 2017, and he was introduced to the only solution that could have ever helped him, and that is Jesus Christ, who he met on May 26, on or about May 26. And now he could have repented in his life and come to Jesus Christ and found in him forgiveness and an advocate. But instead, he found a very angry Jesus ready to crush him and torture him for all of eternity for his wickedness and evil. Now, speaking of wickedness and evil, let's talk about Seth Rich's parents. And it's just my opinion that they are wicked and evil. Seth Rich, you'll remember, was the Democratic National Committee flunky murdered in July 2016 in his affluent neighborhood in Washington, D.C. He was shot in the back with a handgun at about 4 o'clock in the morning, just about a block from his house. Nothing was taken from him. He had his watch, his money, his credit cards, and his cell phone when the police found him dead on the street. 12 days after Seth Rich was murdered, WikiLeaks released 20,000 emails from John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, and other high-ranking Democrats. Initially, Seth's Rich family was doubtful about the fact that it was a robbery. His father even said, quote, "If it was a robbery, it was failed. He still had his watch, he had his money, he had his credit cards, he had his phone. The only thing he lost was his life," Joel Rich said. That's Seth's father, a longtime Democrat. That was in the days right after Seth died, see, when dad was still flustered by the fact that his son had been murdered. He was still bothered in the little bit of conscience left in his black soul. Seth Rich's father was upset about the fact that his son had been killed. He even hired a private detective, Rod Wheeler. Rich's parents hired him in March to find their son's killer. The PI suspects that Rich's death was linked to his work at the DNC. He says there's no evidence to support the police's assertion that Seth Rich was murdered during a so-called botched robbery. In fact, he says not a single person has come forward with information about Rich's murder, despite the fact that there's a reward of $130,000 for any information leading to the arrest and all that. Right. This fella says if you offer a $10,000 reward, you'll typically get at least five people who'll come forward. If it was actually a random botched robbery murder by some gangster or thug in the street, his buddies will rat on him for 10 grand. They're offering 100 grand. Nobody has come forward. Nobody has come forward except Seth Rich's evil Democrat family. And they have come out against the private investigator they initially hired to try to find the truth behind why Seth Rich was murdered. You see, they wanted to know for a while, but then they were influenced, in my opinion. They were influenced by someone to go with the old Spinal Tap philosophy on the death of Seth Richards. Well, when we looked into it, we saw the circumstances, the people involved, and what was happening. And the authorities decided that this was a murder that was best left unsolved. If you can believe that. So how is it that a mom and dad, their son's been murdered, they want to know what's happening, they hire a private investigator, then all of a sudden they don't want to know. In fact, they're now attacking the private investigator, calling him a conspiracy theorist. How can someone's heart grow that cold that they would turn their back on finding the truth about their own son's murder? And in my opinion, this is just what happens to you if you are a Democrat long enough. Because Democrats advocate the murder of strangers all the time. They also advocate mercy and understanding for the guilty all the time. And eventually, if you go down that track long enough in your life, you might end up actually believing it. And at that point, you become so corrupt and evil and wicked that you are genuinely insane. You're no longer in your right mind, and you may very well be eternally unsalvageable. So be careful with what you decide to believe, especially when you have to suspend disbelief. Be very careful with that. Because over the years, it builds and builds, and eventually you find yourself so deep in a hole that you can't crawl out, and you may not even be able to be pulled out. It might be that the good guys can't even reach you anymore because of you are so far down. And you don't want to end up the way Seth Rich's mom and dad have ended up, in my opinion. This is the story that nobody is allowed to talk about. This is the story that almost got Sean Hannity fired. And it's a story that I've been covering for, since July 10th, 2016, when Seth Rich was murdered. And I think the truth behind that should it come out in this life, will unmask all of the lies going all the way back to that original so-called Summer of Love. And the attitudes and the cultural influence that it has produced that has rippled through the lives of my generation and even more violently through the lives of the generations following. And we will keep our eyes on all of it because that's what we do here at the Weekly Worldview. And I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here at the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.